They were devastated. Jesus had said something to them what was the worst thing that they could have heard. The worst thing that they had heard up until that point in their lives. He had told them that he was going to be leaving them, and that where he was going to go, they could not come. And so these 11 men, 11 because Judas had left at this point, were completely wiped out. Just didn't know what to do, I imagine, just completely devastated. They had left everything to follow Jesus, and for 3 years had been following in his footsteps, being covered in the dust of their master, their teacher, Jesus. And he says, I'm leaving, and you can't go where I'm coming. Oh, but Lord, where are you going that we can't go with you? I'll go with you to prison. I'll even die for you, Lord. Will you really, Peter? This night you'll deny me. And so these men, as they had seen Judas leave, and as they heard their master speak to their spokesperson and say, you're going to deny me, are completely devastated on top of him saying, I'm leaving you guys. And Jesus sees these men, and he has love and care and compassion on them. And he says to them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. That's what I want to study with you this morning. Preparing a place in John 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. Before we go there, pray with me just one more time. Father, we pray for a special blessing as we read your word, as we seek to understand it. And we pray this morning that our hope and our faith would be strengthened, would be renewed. Thank you for being with us. We pray this in thy name. Amen. In my Father's house are many mansions, he said. Well, I'd like to correct a few misunderstandings regarding that verse about the word mansions. You see, the word mansions came to us from a man named Tyndale in the 1500s. And he decided he would use the word mansion because in his day, the word mansion simply meant a dwelling place or a small cottage. Now, when you hear of a mansion, what do you think of? Big house. You know those houses on Highway 25, big mansions over there? You think of that, and so you get excited, you know. Oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to have a big mansion. I hate to burst your bubble. In the Greek, it's actually smaller than a house. It simply means a room, a spot for you. Now, in my Father's house, he says, are many rooms for you. Now, you know, to these men, these words must have been comforting. Judas had left. One of them was going to betray Jesus. They didn't know which one. They didn't know that Judas would be the one. He had called out their spokesperson about his denial, and he had told them that they would scatter because of the events that would take place that night. And Jesus speaks to them these words of comfort, in my Father's house, there's a room for you. And that just must have produced a feeling of peace and rest in them, because all they yearned for was for there to be no separation whatsoever at all between them and their Jesus, their rabbi, their teacher. And you know, I was telling the other church this morning, it doesn't matter if it's a big mansion or if it's a simple little cabin or a tent out in the front lawn of the New Jerusalem. As long as we're there with Jesus and there's no separation, that's all we need. Amen. And he goes on and he says, in my Father's house are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you. Now, in my Father's house, I want to look at this for just a moment. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul, here in this letter to the church at Corinth, is writing to them about this source of hope, this thing that has kept him going for years, and actually this hope that has kept Christians going for many centuries. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Now, some of you are probably already thinking ahead, well, wait a minute, Pastor. Paul's not talking about a house that you dwell in. What's Paul talking about here? He's talking about his body. And so, you're absolutely right, his body, Wilhelmina. And so I don't want to talk to you about a house, but I want to talk to you about that hope of something better. Something that is still in store for us. And it's a good thing that we sing about that mansion on the hilltop or being homesick for heaven, because those things, those songs fill us with renewed hope and keep us going and help us to look forward to His second coming. And Paul kind of builds on this concept of looking to what's to come, because he's basically saying in verse 1, yeah, we have this body which is like a tent. And you know, sometimes this tent, it can be destroyed, but someday we'll have a body. With all its aches and pains, that body will be gone, no longer to be destroyed. Verse 2, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan." That word groan, he's used it twice now in these last four verses. This gentleman at the gym over in South Aiken, in his early 40s, one morning said to me, "You know, I just have these pains that just come out of nowhere sometimes." And so he's in his early 40s. You know, pity him, right? He's young, right? Compared to some of you folks here. I get these pains, and I said to him, "Well, you know, I just was trying to be funny." "Well, you know what the definition of middle age is." He's like, "Well, no, I don't know. Why don't you tell me?" I said, "Well, it's waking up every day and thinking that tomorrow you'll feel better." And he, you know, he talks about these pains that he gets just out of nowhere. And, you know, Paul's talking about this old tent, this old tabernacle that one day will no longer need any more patching up from time to time. Verse 4 again, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life, looking forward to what God will do." Verse 5, "Now he that wrought us for the same selfsame thing is God, who hath also given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." In other words, he gave us the down payment of the Spirit. This will take place for you. "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the Lord, from the body, and to be present with the Lord." Looking forward to a time when we will get rid of this tent. No more aches, Joan. No more pains. Get rid of this old body and have something new that will not decay, that will not deteriorate. How do you like that? That's a hope to hold on to. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, the experience of Abraham. The great hall of faith here. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 9. "By faith he," Abraham, "sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." So Abraham was willing to journey. You know, God said, "Go," and he went, looking forward to the city that someday would come. And so it goes on to talk about the city whose builder and maker is God, and about how Sarah and her children also believed in that promise. Look at verse 13. "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." In other words, they had no doubt whatsoever in their minds that there was something else waiting for them. Amen. Holding on to a hope. And that's what kept them going, the promise of what would come. Verse 14, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." Some Bibles say seeking a homeland, or rather a house that is built and made by God. So Jesus says, "In my Father's house, Derek, is a room for you. many mansions, and there's a room for you there as well. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 14. This idea again is repeated. For here, Hebrews 13, 14, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one that is to come. Again, a grand and noble theme, something to look forward to strive for, a grand and glorious noble theme. There's words to this song that I'd like to share with you regarding this hope. I'm going to let the glory roll when the roll is called in glory. I'm going to get beside myself when I get beside the King someday. I'm going to have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. I'm going to get carried away when I get carried away. Amen. Holding on to a hope that there is something better waiting for us. Absolutely something better. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. I don't know what that conjures up in your mind. Maybe the picture of your father's house, or maybe a grandfather's house. For me, it's a picture of my grandfather's house. Grandfather is dear to me. To me, his house was a place of happiness, of joy, where I could go and have peace and rest and safety and security. Amen. And so when Jesus says, in his Father's house, I imagine he's expressing that same idea. You know, there's peace and there's rest and there's love and there's joy in my Father's house. Yeah. Hold on to that hope. He puts that stamp of approval. In my Father's house, there are these mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. So they are. They are. They are there. Titus, if you look at the book of Titus, again, this idea of something that is to come. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So, Jesus is God. God cannot lie. He says, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you. There's a room for you there. It's not a lie. It's certain. It's truth. Just as he's called the true witness in the book of Revelation. Just as he himself told the Pharisees, I know where I came from. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm talking about. It's truth that there is a place for each and every one of us there. Now, as you look at that verse in John 14, 2, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And that phrase, prepare a place for you, kind of troubled me a little bit. Well, because what is it that he is preparing? I thought it was already prepared. He says, in my Father's house are many rooms. So I thought, well, what is it that he's preparing? Some of you perhaps have heard this before, you know, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, took 6 days to make the earth, and look at how magnificent it is. Now think about it. They've been up there 2,000 years. How much more grand will it be up there? You maybe have heard something like that before. But what is it, Derek, that he's preparing for us? Or is it already prepared for us? And I've wrestled with it back and forth, and I finally, the best thing that I could come up with was, you know, we all have family. And when family comes to visit, you have your home, you get it ready, right? You got the yard, maybe you go out and mow it, Lillian. Trim the hedges and whatnot. And, you know, you maybe wash the sheets, get some food here, and maybe get some of their favorite foods. And so your house is there, your yard is there, the rooms are all there, but what are you doing? You're preparing. And it's really an act of love to embrace those people, those family, before they even come to your house. And that's what Jesus is saying. Before you even get here, I'm already embracing you with my everlasting arms of love and preparing that place for you, that room for you in my Father's mansion. Amen? Because He loves us, He cares for us, and He wants to give us a hope. And so we have a hope for the future. What about a hope or a place for us in the present? We have a place for us prepared for us in the future. What about a place for us here in the present? Do we have a place here on earth? And how can we find it? Look at Genesis chapter 2. This idea of having a place that God gives us. We'll see it lived out in principle here. Genesis 2, verse 8. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have been at work. Verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. He placed the man where He wanted him to be. He had a plan for that man. He has a plan for you, and He has a place for you as well on this planet, a place for each and every one of us as well. Again, Revelation 12, this idea of us having a place, Revelation 12. And in Revelation 12, you'll recognize some prophecies that have already taken place. But this idea of having a place appointed by God for us is found here as well. Revelation 12, verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And so the woman is the church, and she has a place where? In the wilderness, a place that's prepared by God. Now, let me ask you this, thinking about that. In the wilderness, do you think that we will always be happy with the place that God has for us? No. You know, I still enjoy playing basketball, but I really loved playing basketball in academy. Every free moment I had, I would shoot baskets. And in between classes, I'd get up in a sweat and go back to class all nasty, but I loved playing basketball. And if I had the skills of a Michael Jordan, you know, I probably wouldn't be in church today. But that's not my place. Not my abilities that I have. My place, the abilities that I have perhaps are to be an expositor of His Word, to preach to you, to preach Jesus, and that's what I love to do, and that's my place. And that's a place we can all find for ourselves if we just take the time to find out what that place is that Jesus has for us. He has a place for us. He speaks of it here for this church, for this woman. Verse 14 again, He gives her these great wings of an eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place. And the idea even, we can even build on the idea even more. Verse 7 and 8, war in heaven, Michael and his angels against the dragon and his angels. Then it says in verse 8, they prevailed not, the dragon and his angels, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. The only way that you can lose your place, you listen carefully, the only way you can lose your place is if you fight God to the point where there's no hope of salvation anymore. But God has appointed a place for you here and a place for you in heaven as well. Now, with a little bit of study, we could see where this other place is found, you know, hell and fire and damnation. But the Bible says that that place is not prepared for those who choose to serve Him. Look at Proverbs chapter 27. Verse 8, we have a place and we should not wander from it. Proverbs 27, verse 8. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Now you just think about that for a moment, that imagery. A bird that will fly away, walk away from its nest, just what happens to that bird in that situation? If it's a baby bird especially, might get hurt, might get destroyed or eaten up by an enemy, right? And he's saying this is the same way for mankind, for men and women, for boys and for girls. When we leave that place that He has appointed for us, we set ourselves up for destruction. Don't leave that place. Hold on to that hope that there is a place to come, and if we prepare ourselves here, we will be able to be with Him. But where is that place here on earth, and how is it that we find that place? Because I think we would all like to know where our place is in God's cause. Am I right? Well, He gives us an answer, and it's a rather simple answer. It's found in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in Thy word. If there is one theme that I have presented to you in the last 3 years, more than others, is that to find your place in a relationship with Jesus. And here, the psalmist is saying, I find You are my hiding place, You are my shield. My prayer and my hope is that you would continue in your journey in that relationship with God. That's that simple. That's your place, to have a relationship with Him here on this earth, that you might then in turn have a place in heaven as well. Get to know Him here. Get to know Him even more for eternity. How do you get there? How do you find that place? The last part of that verse, I hope in thy word. Another theme that we've presented, that the Bible and the Bible alone will help you to stand through the last days.
Amen. Yes.
Find your place in Jesus through this book, and He will fill you with the hope of a place to come. That room might be as big as a mansion. You never know. But certainly, there's a place for each and every one of us there, and we can dwell together for eternity. As we close this morning, I want to read to you from the book of Revelation. And I'm cutting the sermon short because I'm having a tough time speaking to you this morning. So I just want to read from Revelation 21 as we close. Verse 1, 2, and 3. I saw a new heaven and the new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. They shall be His people. God Himself shall be with them and be their God.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, thank you for a promise that we can cling to. A promise where you tell us that this very moment you are preparing your home so that we might dwell in it. We pray that through the power of your Spirit, you would help us here on this earth to find our place in a relationship with you, that we might be preparing each and every day to be able to spend eternity with you. Father, I pray for this congregation, for each and every member, each and every person that walks through this sanctuary, that they would be touched by your presence, filled with your Holy Spirit, that they would truly be blessed each time they come here by you. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us and will continue to do. We pray, giving you thanks, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before we sing our closing hymn, I wanted to read something to you. Now I'm going to read it because I don't know if I can say it myself. Dearest Aiken Church family, it's amazing what the Lord has done for us throughout our time together. There has never been a doubt in my mind about God's providence leading us together. You've been wonderful to me and have looked out for this young pastor. The hugs, smiles, and kind words shall not be forgotten. Thank you for having patience with me as I grew in pastoral ministry. Thank you for your wisdom that you so graciously shared with me. Thank you for opening your hearts to this, as Jerry would say, Chicago kid, and for teaching me the South Carolina way. Thank you for your support. Thank you for everything. Thank you for the going away gift. I'll never forget you guys. You folks will always be close to my heart, and I just pray that the Lord continues to lead you as a church body. I pray for continued unity among you, and I pray for the Spirit to dwell among you. I pray that Jesus will continue to lead you all the way to that holy city where you will dwell together. God's blessings to all. And I would like to close with just a few words from the Apostle Paul. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you. If you will take your hymnals, open up to hymn number 530. And if you remember my first Sabbath here, I said I was nervous and that I needed to play the piano. Well, I'm going to play the piano for you one last time tonight. Thank you.
teaching them, nurturing them in the ways that you have them. Thank you, Lord, for your promise to be with